builder. He does work for you. And you pay him. Now you pay him a bit more than the work he's performed, and then he stops coming. Try and contact him, no answer, no answer, that's it. Can't get hold of him, he's not seen to be interested in finishing off. Why should he finish off? He's ready, receives a lot of his payments, even more than his work. Now really, the Kablan now owes you money, because he hasn't performed for what you paid. So what's happened? He's left a few kalim around. A few of his tools, one or two. He owes me money, this Kablan. Can't get him, can't get his money. I can get his tools, and then take in lieu. So, we concluded last week that the following halacha in Shulchan Aruch. Siman Dal says, Yesh Omen, the law of Minon of Bid Inishtinashi. You can't take the law into your own hands, which is what you want to do in our scenario. Rat Bechefet Samavur Lo Shushalo. Only with the actual item, but as soon as you want to take something which is not yours, but in lieu of what's yours, not allowed to do it. Yeah, that's the halacha we finished off with last week. So look, it seems from that, since you can go to Basin and go through the procedures of Basin, okay, take energy, annoyance, but that's the procedure you can do, because taking the law into your hand is not an option unless it's ill, mamish, option, item which you're taking, not you're taking something in lieu of something that is owed to you. Okay. Now, why and in what fashion is it maybe not the classic case of what the Shulchan is talking about? Matis mentions it last week, a whole week's passed, and probably maybe he hasn't forgotten it, maybe he's remembered. Okay. So the Shaila is our case of the Kaplan, maybe not exactly the same as the words of the Shulchan Aruch we just read out that restricts you from doing it. Why? What way is our case maybe slightly different from the case of the Shulchan Aruch? He left it in the house. What's the Shulchan Aruch talking about, which is not allowed? When you go into his house and say, you owe me money, you're not paying, take it. Not allowed. You can take your chair and table in his house, but in lieu of what he owes you, can't go into his house. You have to go to through the basement. Our case is different. Our case is the Kablan left his tools in my house. So I'd have to go to his property. He doesn't do anything. He's got it by me. Maybe that doesn't come under this restriction. Okay, that's what we're going to analyze at the beginning of the shiur this week. So with that, Shaila, we're going to analyze the following Shaila, Maisa Shaila came to Basin, which is relevant to the Shaila. We have two brothers who buy property in France. 40 million euros. Right? And they register the property as 90% belonging to one brother, 10% belonging to the other brother. Right? They take a mortgage out on it. And in the mortgage papers, it's written, the brother who has 10%, he's the one in charge of making signing power. Right? The brother who has 90% is Nifta. He dies. And now the children, who are the nephews of the other brother, inherit. And they say, look, we want to sell the property. And we need to, therefore, sign over the mortgage in order to release the mortgage and go through the papers. You're in charge of the papers involved in the bank. We haven't got that access. We want to sell and get rid of the mortgage and get our money out. So the other brother's fine. I'm willing to sell. No problem. I'm also happy to get the money out. But you should know, my chelik is not 10%. My chelik is 40%. It's written 10%. Yeah, that was for registration purposes. for reasons, at the time, I only wanted 10%, but I really own 40%. Have you got any proof? No, no proof. Trust me. That's a lot of money to trust somebody.
How much of the purchase price did you pay?
A billboard. Not clear. No way to Mavara at all.
There's no way to be Mavara because you didn't want it to be Mavara.
The paper trail is not much paper to trail. It doesn't leave you much.
Cash.
It's cash. It's a cash deal. A lot of it was a cash deal. Okay. Originating in Morocco. Okay. Fine. So take a look at reasons I wanted for authoritative reasons I should only have 10% for tax reasons, tax benefits, all that type of things. Okay. So they don't agree, they go to Payson and they say, look, registered 1910, that's it. He's got no proof. Come on, it's ours. So Payson says, correct, he's got no proof. Mochsuk is signed, yeah, you're right, you've got 1910, you've got no proof, find this 19. So sign over the papers. Said, no, I'm not signing over any papers. I hold it's 40%. I'm not mukhiv to sign over the papers. I'm tofus on the property. It's mine. Is he allowed to do such a thing? Is he allowed to do such a thing? Refrain from giving over the property.
After Bateman already gave a stock?
This is part of the dintero. It's on the dintero. It says, you haven't got proof. You've got ownership over here. So what you want to say is, I've got proof. What's my proof? You have to trust me. Why? Because I'm, so to speak, holding the cards. So can he do such a thing? Can he...
The question is, if faith in it can believe him because...
Yes. Yeah. Can he refrain? Because he's got not musik, he's got the power to stop any... actualizing the property. No, he's no proof he owns it. He's got power to prevent you having benefits.
The other brother also has signing authority? The other brother who only this brother has.
Yeah.
That could be a riot, that maybe you could say that's a riot that I'm okay.
100%. Okay. It's not a riot. Look, brother. Okay.
Similar thing like
yeah, because it's more that he's making a tina. The woman, the girl says, I've got no tina. I've got this, trust me, he owes me this money, I owe the money, yeah, so to speak. Yeah, this is what I put in, this is the money, this is my money, I put in 40%. And I've been tofus the property, even if it's halakhic considered your property, I'm holding it, I'm preventing you getting hold of it in lieu of the money I put in.
You can have signing authority without actually owning it. Mm-hmm. Anybody can have signing authority without actually owning
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's not necessarily proof.
No, it's not proof at all. So begins the way he's saying. He's saying, I put 40% of the money into this property. Therefore, they owe me 40%. Yeah. Enoch and Nami, this money is halakhically considered my brothers and the children's. But those brothers and children owe me 40% of the money at least. Yes, at least 40% of the money which I put in, which is more than 10%. So therefore, I want to be tofus his property, that's what it is, because that's how I got proof otherwise, it's his property, in lieu of money he owes me, which is the 40% I put in.
Which is not the same item. Which is not the same item.
It's not the same item. So the Chora, according to what we said, if it's this case of the Shulchan Aruch, that when somebody owes you money, you're not allowed to take the law into your own hands, and take something in lieu of that, so he can't. But what is he not doing?
He's not giving.
So therefore, it's similar to our Kabbalah case. Okay. So that the Yamshel Shomer says. No big good, because he's not holding it. Mochsuk is as registered. No, that's not Miku. Miku is. It's mine, and the fact I'm holding it. Migu is, I'm holding it, I could say it's mine.
If he claimed 50%, he can't. He would have believed
it. No, because it's going off the registration. 1910. Registration is always Muslim. Has registered, yes. Very important for my husband and wife. Yes. Now it's registered. Now, so the other. So both cases are same. You owe me money. Both cases, the owner says to the carbon, you owe me money, you haven't finished up the work. Here the Baba says, this property owes me money because I put 40% into it. So in Anachamami, the property, so to speak, is considered the ownership of the Yorushim and the brothers. But I put 40% of the money in, so at least I get that back. 40% of the money. Okay, not 40% of the profit. At least I get that money back. 40% of the money, which I actually put in. Yeah? So it owes me money, and this is your item called the property. I want to hold this item or take this item in lieu of the money, which is owed to me. So therefore, it's similar.
Did you say previously that there's a difference between taking the money for myself to just taking it as a collateral, as a mashkon, until I get what you owe me? So if he's just taking it as a mashkon.
Okay, we'll see. Okay. So the Yabshah Shoma says like this. We call Malkum near. Dafka Shatofis Mashalom. We only have this issue of Shulchan Aruch, of taking law in your hands, you're prevented from it when you're, says, you're only allowed to do it when you're taking your item. But if you're not taking, you have already in your possession a mashkin or pekotin, it belongs to him, but it's already in my rishus, I can hold it back, lachatzchila. Even though it's not mine, I can hold it out. Kedei lahatzam amashon, to hold my, to save my money, even to sell it. But zeh lo nikah ovid in inash, that's not called ovid in it in inash. Shahai lo tofus, because I didn't go to your shus. The Shulchan Aruch was talking about where I went to you and I took something that I can't do. This is my chair. But it's already by me. I don't have to give it to you. And shemakim shalom b'shevatas, I just shevatas. Not giving it to, keeping it back. No, that's what I'm doing.
So no resolution is ever going to happen. You're just ma'achiving it.
No, you sell it.
No, ma'achiv means you have all rights to it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let's now analyze what he's saying. The whole what he's saying is he's saying, this guy owes me money. If I can't go to his house to take anything in lieu of it, but it's already by me, fine. I can keep it. Once I can keep it, then I can sell it. But do you say the second step? That's the shayla. You say all he can do is keep it, or he's saying you can keep it and sell it, even. What is he prepared to say that? What is he saying is the main point over here? Is he saying, as long as you're not doing a positive item to take it away from him, then you can ready just keep it by you and do what you like and sell it? Or is he saying, look, all you can, since all you're doing is keeping by you, but that's all you can do, just keep it. And not do anything with it, and use it as a bargaining tool, but not actually do anything with it. What? Which part is he doing? Still not clear from the Yom Shalom. All he's telling is you don't need to give it. But can you use it as a bargaining tool, or can you actually take it and sell it because you're not going to be shush? That is not yet clear from this Yom Shalom.
So isn't that the point of the mashkin, that in the event you don't get paid, you sell it?
But maybe you have to go through a basin to do that second thing.
We said you're allowed to sell it. Once you have it in your possession, you can sell it.
He doesn't say the actual words. He says, Ma'akiv alova shalom b'shev atasi. You can keep it back because you're not doing a positive action of going to Jerusalem. Now, you keep it back. Now, what can you do? Now, you keep it back. You keep it back and keep it and sell it, or keep it up and just put it in the loft and wait until someone breaks. Depends. Sometimes it goes up. So the old antiques go up. Yeah. Okay. Good. So that's the shaykh. Now we're holding. Yeah. You're not going to Hirshus Shus to take it. It's already by you. Like he says, Caleb is already by me. And says Yahshua, okay, so then you can keep it. You don't have to give it back. Share button. But then can you actually sell it? Not clear yet. So let's see the Mordechai. The Mordechai says like, we have that case of Rav Huna and Brochus. We remember, I repeat the story of Rav Huna and Brochus. Rav Huna had 400 barrels of wine that turned into vinegar. The Rabbonim came to him and said, you must have done something in the Shemaim, I'll give you such a punishment, you must have done something wrong. He says, okay, someone tell me what I've done wrong. So he said, we've heard you haven't paid your sharecropper's wages. You haven't paid him. So he said, you know why I didn't pay him? Because he stole from my vineyard. And therefore I'm just holding back in lieu of what he stole. I'm holding back his wages. So he said, hey, you're not... That's what we call somebody who steals, goes and steals again. Not a right. You also call the gunner. So he stole, you also go the gunner. You can't do that. So Rav Huna said to the Seder, yeah, I accept it. So we see from that story that you're not allowed to take the law in your own hands in such a case. You know he stole from him. Even though I know he stole from him, I still can't take the law in such hands. And that's what the Rabbi Mordechai, the Mordechai asks, says, Hiksha Arab Kulamyos, number three. Halaminavidlokuch. Why is Rav Huna admitting that? Why did he get punished? Rav Huna is incorrect. Kaimel Ovid Ishinashe. He can take the law in his own hands. This guy's a gun. He owes me money. I'm not paying his wages in lieu of what he owes. No problem. What did he do wrong? Yes, over. Dinadav goes to Dover Atzmo. Shadok of the Ozom Mutzal of the Kichem. That's only when you can take the law in your hands, when I'm taking back the item which is actually mine. He took my chair, I take that my chair. Avahok, the Lokas Musa, Chem, Shlok on the Oris. Yes, the Oris stole from the vineyard. But you're not giving him now, and you're holding back, and you're keeping for yourself, not the vineyard which he stole, which is yours. You're giving back wages from giving him sharecropping and other produce, which is he deserves. So therefore, he owes you from the vineyard, but on the other hand, you're taking, in lieu of the vineyard, you're taking the wood, which you owe him. That you can't do. Obviously, when you're taking the actual item which you stole. You stole a chair, you can take your chair back. Not you can't take something in lieu. You have to go to the basin if you want to do that. And that's what Rav Huna did wrong. So what do we see from here that doesn't fit with the Yom Shel Shlomo? This doesn't fit with the Yom Shel Shlomo. What do we see from here?
It fits or doesn't fit?
So Martin says it doesn't fit because what do we see here? What did Rav Huna do wrong? Did Rav Huna go into the Oris, the sharecropper's resource, and take something in lieu of what's owed him? Or he just held back? What did he do?
Held back.
And still what happened to Rav Huna? Naughty, says the Rabbanim. Min HaShamayim says, you're gonna.
But he was holding back to keep it for himself, not just as a mashkon.
Fine. So what do we see?
So
what do we see from here? That in order that it shouldn't be a conflict with the Yom Shel Shlomo, what do we have to say?
That you have to hold it but not use it.
That you can hold back, but are you allowed to actually hold back and keep it and use it and sell it as if it's mum is yours, or just hold back and just hold back?
But then he doesn't answer Rav Huna, because Rav Huna said, I'm going to give it to him. He didn't think he was going to keep it. He didn't want the original land. He didn't give it to him. So he didn't have to give it to him. Sir.
Because he's got no proof. What proof has he got?
No, but if you say not a deal in Nazi, and Harold's going to hold it.
Yes.
Why didn't he do that?
Yes.
He took on the false pretenses.
Why didn't he do it?
Fine, we'll just wait in a second. Yeah, so the Chora, in order that it shouldn't be a Kasha on the Yom Shel Shlomo, it has to be that all the Yom Shel Shlomo meant to say was that if you don't go into his house and it's already in your house, you can keep it. Doesn't mean you can keep it and sell it. Just means you can keep it as a bargaining chip, but not as yours. And what did Rav Huna do wrong? He has to keep it yours. You want to use it? That you can't do. That's not allowed. Let us see the Ma'arik Sharish insight. Yeah, ready. The Halo Mikri Ovid in Ishashi and the Hecha shows a Maisik in Zion. What's the logic behind this? Now we have to understand what the logic behind this. Says the Ma'arik Sharish, the Ma'arik says, it's not called Ovid in Ishashi only when you're doing action like a basin. Lig vos mani kashvil momanacha. What's an example of being a Dayan, a basin, which you're not allowed to do, because you're not a Dayan, you're not a basin. That is when you take money in lieu of other money. That's one example. Only basin can do that, not you. Oh, the hackers are coming. Or you want to hit somebody in order to retrieve your item. That's also not allowed to be done, because you're not a basin. Oh, last season, Achi Shalomon, or cause him financial loss elsewhere until he pays you money. See, I got the shakhmen in Russia, that's called the conflict in Russia, and you can't do it unless you have all the conditions. But in a situation, but in the case where you're holding back and just not doing anything with it, that's not based in action. That doesn't need power based in at all. That's called being topus. Holding. Holding is not what Basin's power. Basin has extra power. They can convert money which belongs to Reuben to now belong to Shimon. That's what they can do. Now yours, you can do what you like. You can't do that. Because you haven't got that right to do it. But to hold back Reuben's item in your house and do nothing with it and say, this is not mine. It's still Reuben's. It's just in my house. And Reuben's not going to get a hold of it until he comes to terms with me. That you're okay. That's not called a Basin. And therefore you can do that. What's not allowed is to act like a basin. That means to actually convert Reuben's money into being mine. That you can't do. So therefore there's no conflict between the Mordechai and the Amshel Shalom. The case of Rav Huna was when Rav Huna wanted to convert the money which belongs to the Oris into his and actually use it. That you're not allowed to do. Because you're not allowed to do that. You're not the basin over here. But if you just want to hold it back and do nothing with it, which is what the Yamshel Shomer says you can, it's already in your shoes, and you're not going to his house, you're just holding back his item, you can. So therefore, halachically, we come to the conclusion in our two cases tonight. Two cases in front of you. You got the Kaplan, hasn't finished off his work, overpaid him, and he's left his Kalim. What can I do there? No, what can I do with those Kalim? Hang on to them. Even if the Kaplan comes, he says, you're not seeing them until you cough up. Okay? But he can't sell them. He can't sell them. Once he sells them, then he has to go through the process of peace.
Probably has to be, what kind of shomer is
it? Yes, it has to be type of shomer on this. Yeah, on those kingdom. It's not his kingdom. Okay? Maybe it's a shomer. Yeah, maybe it's a shomer. At that stage, when he has contact with the Kaplan and he says, I want it back. Up to them, maybe not. But until when he actually contacts the Kaplan and said, I know, I'm holding it back. Okay, you're holding it back. Fine, we'll go to Mason. Fine. But meantime, you're Shoma. Okay. Now. Yeah, okay. So that's good. Now, in our second case, where the brother says, I have signing power over here. I'm not going to sign. This is your property. Your nephews have belonged to you, okay? That's what's registered. It's your property. But your brother owes me 40% of their money, which is invested into the property. So he owes me money, and it's your property. I want to take this property and not sign it over to you until you pay me. Have you got a right to do such a thing? Yeah. Because there, he's not saying the property belongs to him. Saying the property belongs to my brother, belongs to the nephews. I don't need to give it over to you because I hold, he owes me money.
They do it in Basin.
Now, when it comes to Basin, this is all out of Basin. That means the brothers come to him, the nephews come to him before Basin and say, hey, that's our property, release. He halakhically, at that stage, you can say, I don't need to release. I'm not going to use it for myself. I'm not going to take it for myself because I'm not allowed to because he owes me money and this is another item called the property and I can't take lieu. I can't actually convert that property to be mine, but he owes me money. And therefore I'm holding it back because it's already by me. I'm holding it back until that has been decided. But now once he's in Basin, and Basin say, okay, now we're having a dintero and say, Lou, you say he owes him money. Prove he owes his money. No proof. So what basically going to pass it? You can't perpetually hold the property and say, oh, I'm holding this property, even though I've got no proof that he owes me any money. Well, you have to have some proof, some bigger, some something, in order to actually prove that. Now you're basing. Now the MS comes out. No proof. You've got no proof that somebody owes you money. What's the basic going to pass it? Does their nephews owe him money? What's going to be the basis of the person? No! So the Alephas, you don't owe him money. So then the halacha stands at this stage. This is definitely their property. We halacha passed the brother and the nephews do not owe you money because you've got no proof. So why are you holding it? You can't just hold something for nothing. You have to release it. At that stage, you have to release it. But before you go to the basin, you can hold it. Okay, so you get to this. Let us go to, now, a very common shaila around this time of year. Yes? What?
Can you turn around and say, well, I want to see a
No, why? Why? That's all. Base is a ready paskins. As a base, you can do that. Non base. Base comes out and say, this is the facts on the ground, halakhically. You own the property, no proof, no loan, no money's owed to you, you own the property, is that what it is? Well, you can't hold something that's not yours, without any reason.
Now, he would have done it outside of Basin, before they went to Basin. Held on to it.
He did.
He did, and he can. He did, and he can.
But when they go to Basin, they basically force him to
Yes. That's what he's saying, the difference is. You can hold it before going to Basin, once it's in Basin, Basin will then decide, and that's whatever they decide to decide. Now let's go to our main shayla this week. Ma'aseh shohu kachoya, but this ma'aseh shohu has ramifications for everyone as well. Reuven rented out his apartment to Shimon and his family. Part of the conditions of contract was, I'm renting out the apartment, but I'm not renting out the machzan. So, Pesach comes, Shimon and his family go all back to Chutz Laaretz for Pesach. Reuven's family come to Eretz Yisrael. Reuven says, okay, I've got a machzan. You can stay in the machzan. My family that's come to Eretz Yisrael will now sleep in the machzan. He goes and opens up the machzan. And what does he find inside the machzan? It's mole mole full of items. Belonging to Shimon and his family, which is against the contract. He only went to the apartment, he didn't rent the machzan. And they put all their stuff in the machzan. And now Reuven needs it for his own family. That comes from Chutz Laaretz. So what does he want to do with this stuff?
Put it on the streets.
And he's allowed to do that. Ovid Ilish didn't internashik. Ooh, he wants to take the law in his own hands. This is my place. Out. All into the streets. Can he do that? That's our particular shayla. But it's a very common shayla. At Pesach time, what do you have? At Pesach time, this shayla, you go walking around all the corridors of the Chedah Madragot and the Machsanim areas. What do you find? Put upside. Oh, lots of little items all over there that's just hanging around. And we want to do cleaning over here. What do we want to do? Put upside. No one claims it. Okay, so what do we want to do? Want to throw out for the outside? Yeah. Similar shayla. Yeah, okay, so we're going into the Sukkot. So we've got two cases. One is this time of year type of case, and one is this, our particular dinner. So Shaila is, can he take the law in his own hands? Yeah? In such a case. But what do you want to do? What do you want to do with his items?
Remove it.
Fine, so that means you're taking the law into your own hands by taking his items, which are not yours, clearly not yours, and putting them where? Putting them where?
Somewhere else.
Somewhere else. Fine. So therefore,
I'm afraid to let you stay in
Very good. The Gemara discusses your case exactly. Let's try and bring a riot from that Gemara case. Says the Gemara, number 5. Your case, number 5. In the Chof Tesamadala. Shah Sha'ola Gabe Chabela Hogan. Somebody's ox, Reuven's ox, goes on top of Shimon's ox and he's about to kill Shimon's ox. Okay? Bob Balatafton comes along the Shimon. And he pulls his bottom ox away for not for Elion and therefore Reuben's ox, which was on top, falls down for Mace and dies. Potter. This Potter, like I won't say, I think he was like, I'm pulling my ox away. Aye. He shouldn't have put his ox on top of mine. I'm not hired for damage for that one. But then it says, Dolphin Elion. But if he doesn't pull his away, but he pushes the top one off. The mace and the mace and that ox dies, the top one, by pushing them off, chayiv, then Shimon's chayiv for doing that. Why? Why? Why is the difference? What's the difference between Shimon pulling his away or Shimon pushing Reuven's off? Both of them, in both cases, they die. One case he's chayiv, and one case he's a potter. What's the difference?
one he's just taking his, and the other one he's being malicious to free his.
Okay, but it's the same result.
So one thing was his own object, one thing was someone else's object. Well, you're treating his own lost object. His own lost object.
No, what's the difference, Eric? Between the bottom and the bottom ox and taking my bottom. Well, I know science. I'm doing a bit of science over here. I know a bit of science. No, I've been learning for many, but I didn't remember my science that if you take the bottom one away, then gravity says the top one is going to die. Okay, the Gemara says the answer. The Gemara says next line. Am I chayef? Why is he chayef for pushing it off? What's the difference? Why is he chayef? So how you learn the shamta below shamta? He should have pulled his one away, and he didn't. Why? What was that? What that better? There's more chance that the top one will survive if I pull the bottom one away than if I push the top one off. So therefore, I should have done, what should I have done? I should have always minimized. Okay, I should always minimize. Okay. I should always, fine. But at the end of the year, if you have a problem, we'll discuss it. Yeah, because at the moment we haven't clarified all the terms and logic behind this. We just had a statement at the moment. Okay. So now, on the bare principle of comparison, which we can't do really at this stage because we have to understand it properly, but bare principle, what should we say therefore in the case of the Machzon and the Pesach case?
Instead of putting stuff in the street, put it into the house.
When you're taking the law into your own hands to get use of your item because his item is over there, yes? What do you have to do?
Minimize.
So how do you minimize in our two cases? What do you have to do to minimize?
Put it
in his apartment.
Or rent
maybe even another Mahsan. Or
you charge it back.
Or what's the simple thing? Yeah, but what's the simple thing? Before you do anything, what simply should you do? Call them up! Talk it over with them! Yeah, okay, we'll get to the stage when you can't reach them. But first option is, you can't just say, chutzpah, out! No, first thing is, pick up the telephone and have a talk. That's the first thing. Try, because you are chiyuv. A chiyuv is to minimize. So talking is the first option of minimizing. People need to talk to people before they do things. Yeah? Okay, so that's what it seems to tell me. That you can't just do what you like and chuck it out. You have to talk and discuss things. At least. Now, I've got a Gemara and Bobmas here. We'll get back to clarity on exactly what these cases are soon. Yeah? But I've got a Gemara and Bobmas here, which seems to say the opposite, and I want you to help me how to reconcile the two Gemaras. The Gemara Bamitzvah here, Daf Kuf Aleph Amud Beis, says like this. It's a famous story, this. People have done this throughout history. Ahu Gavra, who's this guy? The Zobin Abba Dachaba. He sells barrels of wine. Lo Ashkacha Duchta Lu'usve. So now, he hasn't got a place to store his barrels. He's got lots of barrels of wine, which he wants to sell. Yeah, he hasn't got a place to sell. To store them. So Omele Lai, he said, oh, in fact, he sees this woman who's got a property over here. Isle Dukta Lugri. So you've got a property over here. Can I use your space over here? Can I rent your space? Yeah, to store my barrels. Omele, no. She said, no, I'm not willing to rent out my space for your barrels. So what did he do? Also Kinshaw, so he went to marry her. Yeah, they took her there, says, okay, now we're married, you can put your barrels in there. We're husband and wife, we're in it together. They put the barrels in the attic. Ozalabesa, so after he put the barrels in the attic, he went to his house, and Kostino gets, he wrote her a get. So delay, and in those days, you can divorce a woman against her will, so he threw the get to her. Ozalabesa said, okay, now we're divorced. That's it, no longer marriage. So I got what I wanted. I got my barrels in the attic, and I don't have to marry to you. So divorced him. So what did she do? Also, she went, she hired workers with payment from some of the barrels. She paid the workers with some of those barrels. And what did she tell these workers to do? To put it out in the Rishus HaRabim. All in the Rishus HaRabim. And they got damaged. They got stolen. Okay? And the Gemara says it was good and beseder what she did. Now, I don't understand. Why is this? In Baba Kama, it says that someone's attacking you, your animal's attacking you, his animal's attacking you. You have to minimize the damage. You can't just do what you like. I mean, concluding, you can't just put it into a Rishus HaRabim, therefore. You have to speak to it, you have to deal with it, you have to do it in a way that doesn't damage the person. Here it says, she didn't have a conversation with the guy afterwards and give him warning and say, no, come and pick it up, this is what's going to happen. And she just did, and what she did, you're here, it's in my house, you're not supposed to be here, you're not married anymore, out! And she says, Peseda, what's the difference?
In her case, he gave him a heter.
Even worse. Yeah. He was invited in. And now you kick him out without telling him, and he got all stolen, damaged. What's the difference? What's the difference between the animal and him? No. Suggestions.
He created the situation intentionally. In the case in Baba Kama, that happened in the mail. The guy who owned the store.
So, what's the words that you would like to say the difference is in one word?
That he did it intentionally. It was done on a regular basis.
Sorry?
He wanted to put her in this position.
Yes. So, somebody who wants. Okay. He wants to put it in the position.
How did he see it? There's no point in talking to him because he created the situation purposely, obviously. So what did he talk about?
No, she can come back and say, this is what she can live. He's given a warning. Says, look, within the next 24 hours, you don't pick up your barrels, then it's out in the Rishus HaRabim. You know what's going to happen? If he knows it's going, the barrels are going to be in the Rishus HaRabim, he knows he's going to put them in the Rishus HaRabim, then he'll
put
them in
the Rishus HaRabim. He's already tricked him just to put the barrels in, which he said to him, no, you can't put the barrels in.
Yes.
Now he
says, you know, this is what's going to happen. Next 10 minutes, come around. 10 minutes time.
I think what Rabbi's saying is that the halacha to minimize damage is only when it was done the shogig.
In fact, let's see what the Gemara continues. If you look at number 7, Omer Rav Huna Ben Shur, Kasher Oso Ken Yaselo Gomer Yosef Rosha. Just as he did to her by being a monster of a tricker, you can do to him, and he can get it back in his face. Lower boy chotz the camera. Not only if her place is not supposed to be stored in, and I feel chotz the camera. Even if she rents this place out to everyone in town, and she says, I don't mind renting it to anyone. But you, no nichle, I don't want to rent it to you. She still has this right. The dome I like her ariava. He's like a lion attacking her, where you can just get rid of her without warning. So as you all pointed out, there's a big difference between our two cases. The case of Bomitzia, where you don't need to give a warning, you don't need to be concerned of minimizing damage, is because the guy is a tricker. He brought it upon himself, so to speak, in such a devious plan to get yourself in. So you don't deserve to be warned, just out. But in the case of Reuben's ox attacking Shimon's ox, Reuben needs to be warned or be concerned with. He didn't do it on purpose, his ox came around. Okay? So therefore, there you have to minimize the damage. So now, in our case,
our case,
how do you define our case? Is he like Baba Basra or Baba Kama, or is he like Baba Nitzir? Is he like the tricker and therefore don't need to be concerned with him at all? Or is he like the case of the show?
Well, we don't know. Maybe the phone call will help you, Rivara. We don't know what the story, how it got to him.
We don't know how it got to
him. Maybe there was a fire in the house. Maybe
what's
the bug problem?
Baba Kama is Reuben's ox didn't do it on purpose. Reuben didn't do it on purpose. The ox did it. So therefore, Shimon has to be concerned. Shimon's the one to benefiting himself. So he has to be concerned with Reuben and take and minimize Reuben's losses. Because Reuben didn't do it on purpose. But in the case of the woman where this Reuben did do it on purpose, so she doesn't need to be concerned with him. So our Shaila is, in our case of the Mahsan, is the Mahsan guy owner, the Mahsan renter, who's also Reuben. Nice story. Is he like Reuben the tricker, and therefore I, the owner, do not need to be concerned with him, just chuck him out? Or is he like Reuben the ox owner, and therefore I do have to be concerned with him, and pick up the phone and work out ways where I to minimize? Which one does he fit into? Reuben the ox owner, or Reuben the tricker? Reuben the lion, or Reuben the ox? That's the silent. So everyone is unanimous over here that he's Reuben the lion, fox, whatever you want to say, Bob Mitzia, don't need to be concerned.
Question.
What?
I thought my dumb comes to this question. You can at least find out the buyer of the present.
Okay. So, we have a discussion that Max has shown them like this. Look at number 8. Look at number 8, it says like this. The Rambam, when he's bringing this halacha down, he says like this. Mi shehichnes peiros of the base chaber, shalom adatam. Somebody enters and puts in his items in somebody's house without his knowledge. Yesh la balabais, linko lo mosaferis. Then the owner can take that fruit itself and sell it, because they listen to Scarlapolin and all the higher workers, shemosamosa, moshikal shok, to chuck it out in the street. Midas chasidus. Who? And it's a righteous thing. Shiodele basin. There's good mixes of mokum shum behishim of Izabalim. It's a midas hasidus to do the fin mushus adin to tell basin that you can hire a place where to store it and that it won't get damaged. But m'ika hadin, the guy. Through using the flavors, yeah? Yeah. M'ika hadin, he's Reuven the tricker, the lion, the fox, and therefore you can just chuck him out without having any consideration for him. That's the Rambam.
Our case is worse than Rambam's case.
Says the Shulchan Aruch passing like the Rambam. But when the Ramah comes down, this is Losh and the Ramah, he says there's a Rosh. And what does the Rosh say? Yeshomim, the Tzorch Lehadiyah Techila. No, you have to inform him first. And only if problems come after and he doesn't take your warning and then he ignores it and then it gets destroyed afterwards, then you're potter. But if you do not warn him and you just chuck it in the street, then you're going to be chayim. So we have a machlokas who's shown in Rambam and Rosh, whether you put your items in somebody else's house without his permission, wherever you're considered, like Reuben the lion fox, and I don't have to be considerate to him at all, or like Reuben the owner of the ox, and therefore it's not, I have to be considerate, I have to warn it, and if I don't, then you're going to take the consequences of any damage having to those items, you're going to have to pay.
The Rush is not going to argue with the Gemara. Right, so the Rush must be saying that this case is different from the Gemara.
So what way is this case of the Shulchan Aruch different from the world's case? So the Gemara says you can do what you like, yes? And the Rambam says, yeah, you can always do what you like in our case. But the Rush says, my case is not the Gemara's case. Our case, you have to be considerate and give warning. You can't chuck it out. You can't do like this warning. He's not like Reuben the Lion. So why is he not like Reuben the Lion? Why was he not like Reuben?
We don't know the details.
The details of what's written in the Shulchan Aruch.
We know that. Shenichnas
peiros al habayis chaver shlo medatzah. That's the details.
We don't know why.
Mother never said you can't. In the case of the Gemara, she said you can't.
Okay. What's the trickery of the Gemara which allows you to say he's such a tricker? I don't need to be considerate.
He tricked her.
You say he knows. There's another factor also in that case that could also be. What's the trickery of the Gemara which releases you from being considerate? You say because he knows. She doesn't want it there. There's another way of learning. What? What avla did he do?
He
under false pretenses. Yes. Married her.
He did marry her.
And she agreed. She agreed in order to be married. And he had no intention to be married to her. So they married her. That's a level of Ramos, which is Schmidt's level of trickery. You get 10 out of 10 for such behavior in the level of being a downright uncouth person. Okay. But in our case, what's our case, the Maksan? Is he that level? Is he that level? No, is he that level? What did he want to do? He wanted to take, a bit of advantage. But he didn't do it in such a conniving, foxy way.
Our case from Maksan is always worse than the Russian case.
But you say now the Russian case.
Yeah, the case of the Rush is, there's no explicit written thing. Like you said, a sign, do not enter the property. You enter, but it never said the favor. Yeah, maybe I thought he would let me.
Right.
But in the case of the other hand,
so that's why I was asking. And one way it's worse than the Rush case, because it's just Shlomo Dato, there's no discussion, and here's the discussion, don't go to the Matzah.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's not as bad as the Gemara case. So something in the middle. And therefore we have to still analyze it. Okay. So therefore, that's where we're going to leave it this week. Next week, we'll continue the analyzing. Okay. We'll analyze it in more detail next week. Is he Reuven the lion, or is he Reuven the ox?
Going back to Lassie's case for a second, why is there no Migu in Lassie's case?